Moving on to your ag news from around the country, China this week, along with announcing Phase 1 trade deal to be signed next Wednesday, also announced a suspension of its ethanol mandate, signaling a further reduction of imports from the United States. The E10 target was suspended because China says any promotion of ethanol gasoline must be based on the precondition that food security is guaranteed. The mandate was implemented in 2017 to draw down massive corn stocks in China. The U.S. exported about 20% of its ethanol supply to China in 2016, worth about $300 million. However, shipments have sharply declined recently. Renewable Fuels Association Jeff Cooper told Reuters, "This is definitely a step in the wrong direction, but it was not completely unexpected." Beijing announced a 30% import tariff in 2017 and added additional tariffs through the U.S.-China trade war of another 40%. China was expected to sharply increase imports of U.S. ethanol under the recently announced Phase 1 trade deal, but now is unlikely to require a large ethanol supply without the mandate. Moving on into national ag news, the Senate committee tasked with markup and approval of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is planning to do so quickly. The agreement must be approved through the committees before reaching the full Senate. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, whose panel had already approved the agreement Thursday, said it takes just a short period of time for other committees to review the implementing legislation. However, the impeachment impasse could end as early as Friday, further casting a cloud on just when the full Senate would consider USMCA. House Speaker Pelosi says she'll send the articles of impeachment when I'm ready, indicating that could be soon. Meanwhile, Senate Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate will move on with other work until Pelosi sends the articles of impeachment. And Grassley says the Senate is not going to dilly-dally around while we're waiting to see what Speaker Pelosi wants to do on impeachment, adding the Senate committees will act very quickly come next week. Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai this week presented his colleagues with final rules to launch the $20.4 billion Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. Chairman Pai says the fund would target rural areas across the country where residents currently lack access to adequate broadband service. The rules would be voted on by the FCC at its open meeting January 30th. The proposal would establish a two-phased process to provide funding for the deployment of high-speed broadband in areas of the country where there is currently not fixed broadband service that meets the Commission's minimum speed standards of 25 to 3 megabits per second. For Phase 1, the FCC would target $16 billion to areas that are wholly unserved by such broadband. And for Phase 2, the FCC would use its new granular broadband mapping approach called the Digital Opportunity Data Collection to target unserved households in areas that are partially served by such broadband. New Holland is partnering with the National Hemp Association to accelerate the return of hemp commodity crops on farms across North America under the banner Pushing Progress Together, announced at the Pennsylvania Farm Show this week. Through the partnership, the National Hemp Association will partner alongside New Holland at 16 national farm shows throughout North America. The association will deliver educational sessions and panel discussion, as well as exhibiting the variety of products produced from hemp. The alliance will also work towards solving the industry's biggest challenge, the absence of commercial-scale harvesting and equipment needed to meet demand. New Holland officials say the partnership will help the hemp industry respond to concerns as it grows and hear from its dealer network and customers who are looking to New Holland to bring forward supply chain solutions. The alliance will call on their other industry partners to join a hemp pledge and commit purchasing hemp grown processed in the U.S. by U.S. farmers. Moving on into more Midwestern ag news now. When we typically think of celebrating dairy products, we think of the month of June, which is Dairy Month across the country. But as Aaron McGraw with the St. Louis District Dairy Council explains, tomorrow, Saturday, is another reason to celebrate.
So, yes, June is the big dairy month. It is dedicated all month long to dairy. But this Saturday is actually National Milk Day. So there's different things you can do. This was established in the 1800s, and that's when we think about milk being delivered in, like, the sterilized glass bottle with the milkman and all of that, too. So I would encourage you to sample a new milk product. There's so many different flavors of milk out there now. There's different seasonal products. Or if it's been a while since you've just had a glass of milk with a meal, just try it out and see how it feels. See how you feel after that meal, too. Oftentimes you feel pretty satisfied for a while afterwards because of that high-quality protein. Trying a new recipe featuring dairy foods. Talk to your kids about dairy and how it comes from cows. There's actually, in different areas, farms that actually participate in agritourism, or they do tours in kind of the St. Louis surrounding areas. There's Marcoot Jersey Creamery in Greenville. There's Ludwood Creamery and Rop Cheese are all local creameries in the Illinois area that welcome tours, and you can really learn about milk and dairy farming and how it ends in a really delicious product as well. So there's all sorts of things you can do, but finding new and creative ways to incorporate milk is a really great way to start.
Again, that was Erin McGraw, registered dietitian with the St. Louis District Dairy Council, and tomorrow is National Milk Day. Moving on into state ag news now on your Friday. There was a grain bin rescue and recovery earlier this week in Grant Park, not far from Manteno, 55 miles south of Chicago in Kankakee County. The incident took place just before 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday at the Farmers Elevator Company of Manteno. It was reported that two individuals were in the bin at the time of the rescue, with one individual being rescued and the other succumbing to his injuries. The incident continues to be under investigation by the state police and OSHA. Moving on now into local ag news. Coming up a week from tomorrow will be Carlinville FFA Alumni's biannual dinner auction, which will be held at the Carlinville Elks Lodge Saturday evening, the 18th at 5:30. To explain about this year's dinner auction, I spoke yesterday morning with Molly Rosentreter and Aiden Groves. And first off, Molly explains that this year is not the first time the Carlinville alumni has held a dinner auction.
Correct. This will be our third dinner auction. We've started, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. We did it 2 years in a row and then skipped a year. And from now on, we will do it every other year, as you said. So our next one will be in 2022. And this is our most productive fundraiser. We have a great time. We have 250 members of the community that come out and support us. Our Carlinville community is very gracious in that they give to us and in the auction as well as in in-kind gifts and monetary for a nice meal provided by the Elks. And then we do a silent auction as well as a live dinner auction and have a wonderful evening. And this is our biggest fundraiser in order to help the kids throughout the next 2 years.
Next, Aiden explains where proceeds from the dinner auction and other alumni events go towards during the year.
Yes, with the Carlinville FFA alumni, our big goal is to provide opportunities to children that most of us had in high school or some opportunities we didn't have. So some of the big highlights for many kids' careers in high school that we help fundraise is going to national convention. Historically, it was held in Louisville. Now it's out in Indianapolis. We'll send a busload of kids out there for them to go network and meet kids from all the way from Maine to Puerto Rico, Alaska. I always had a great time, and the more kids we can put out there, the better. Some of the other different things we do, there's a conference called WLC, which stands for Washington Leadership Conference. It's for junior FFA members that they head out to Washington, D.C. for a couple days in the summer to network with other FFA members from across the nation, learn about leadership. That way they're ready to be the leaders of tomorrow and not only the agriculture community, but also our local community. We do have a scholarship for seniors, whether they're going off for college or trade school, that we'll hand out to the four top senior members that we see after they fill out the applications to basically help them get a go at starting off their next step in life. You know, that's our big thing. Once you're done with high school, what is your next step? And that's where Carlinville FFA alumni, we want to help provide all the resources and training and knowledge to these kids so when they leave Carmel High School, move on wherever they're going, they're ready to take life on.
Again, that was Aiden Groves and Molly Rosentreter with the Carlinville FFA alumni. And tickets are still available around Carlinville. Cost for tickets are $20 for adults, kids 12 and younger are 15. In other local ag news, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders meeting was held last night. Officer elections for the new year. The new chairman for this year will be Rachel Tester, and she was chairman last year. Vice chairman again this year is Brandon McCollum, and secretary treasurer for the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders is Cord Louie of Hillsboro. So congratulations to those three on another year of leading the County Farm Bureau and Young Leaders. In other ag bulletins here on this Friday, the 79th annual meeting of the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District will take place on Tuesday, but the RSVP date is today. Light meal will be served by Milanus Catering, and that will be followed by a short program from Ashley Dawson with Pheasants Forever. If you'd like to RSVP again, today's your last chance. The office number for the Soil and Water District is 532-3361. Country Financial and the Illinois Farm Bureau, along with other organizations, are teaming up to hold agribusiness seminars throughout the state to better equip farmers and growers with knowledge that they need to make informed decisions for their operations. Two of these agribusiness seminars will be held next week, the first of which to be held Monday morning at 8:30 at the Fayette County Farm Bureau in Vandalia. The second seminar will be held Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Lake Shelbyville Visitor Center. Speakers for the seminars will include Doug Yoder of Country Financial, Dr. Gary Schnipke with the University of Illinois, and Joe Camp with AgriVisor. Coming up later this month, the Illinois Wheat Association and the Illinois Soybean Association checkoff programs will continue to join forces in 2020 and co-sponsor the Illinois Double Crop Farmers Forum. The forum is scheduled to be held Thursday, January 30th, at the Doubletree Hilton, located at 222 Potomac Boulevard in Mount Vernon. The registration takes place 7:30 to 8:30 that morning, and the conference presentation will begin at 9. The Illinois Wheat Association's annual meeting will be held at 8:30 that morning, which is also open to participant attendance. Speakers and topics at this year's event will include Phil Needham of Needham Ag Technologies on double crop management, Pope Commodities on marketing strategy, Wheat Yield Contest Winners Panel, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Risk Management Agency representatives, amongst others. The conference agenda is posted online at the Illinois Wheat Association's website, illinoiswheat.org. And that will wrap it up for this Friday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us or anything for the Ag Community Bulletin Board, that can be emailed to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Friday morning, January 10th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.